Let's go to John chapter number 4 tonight. John chapter number 4. And I ain't ever preached this. I was looking over today. I don't know how it'll go, but we'll see. I'm just going to trust God will get in it. If He'll get in it, it'll be good. Somebody was giving me a hard time about my suit earlier. Now, I don't know. I've just been feeling all happy and bubbly today. And man, we got to hear a good message on the internet today from a good preacher, and it fired us up a little bit. And then we was listening to some good bluegrass music before we came to church, and I went to the closet, and this just looked happy. It looked bubbly. So I put it on, so if you don't like it, oh well. I wasn't really interested in whether I matched or not tonight. My wife would probably have a pitch of fit if she saw me wearing something like this, but she ain't here, so just don't tell her, all right? John chapter number 4, we find a wonderful story about the woman at the well. She came to Jesus, and verse number 14, Jesus said, "I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again." It's that well of water springing up in everlasting life. I thank God. I was just talking about it. I thank God for that day when I got a good drink. I got a good drink. The best drink you'll ever find. I love. Amen. Miss Piet, she's done found out this week. I like caffeine. I like Dr. Pepper and I like Mountain Dew. I like something that'll give me a little extra charge, a little bit extra zip. But amen, that day on June the 5th, 2000, amen, I got a drink, amen, that this world cannot produce. No factory, amen, can package it in a bottle, amen. Hey, NyQuil can't even give you, amen, or the liquor or anything out there in this world cannot give you. Amen, that drink that Jesus Christ can give you. See, I don't understand the shouting tonight. I don't understand the rejoicing. It's because we're singing about how great thou art. Amen. We're singing about heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We're singing about I was lost in darkness. Amen. I had no hope, but then I met the Master. And He did something that nobody else could do. That's why we're shouting tonight. But then she brings up the subject of worship. It's funny, she got a drink. She started talking about worship. Something about that, isn't it? You know why people quit worshiping God? It's not because they get saved. It's because they get around a bunch of people that talk them out of it. Or they get around a bunch of people who have already gotten over their salvation. And they've gotten down in the mouth about it. It certainly ain't Jesus Christ that does that. Look at verse number 23. We'll start reading there. It says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Verse number 23 there, I believe it implies that there are such thing as false worshipers. He said the true worshipers should worship the Father in spirit and truth. Well, if there's true worshipers, then there would have to be the opposite of that, and that would be false worshipers. I was sitting down there a few minutes ago just thinking about them false worshipers. Benny Hinn. Joel Osteen. There's a bunch of them out there. Kenneth Copeland. Amen. I'm trying to pick out your hero. Paul and Jan Crouch. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship. But you better believe the hour now is when the false worshipers are worshiping too. And you know why so many people are flocking to that mess? Because they're not finding very much true worship. And there probably are, I dare say, Brother Eric, there probably are a lot of good, honest to goodness saved people that are just, they've got sucked into that mess. They wanted something with a little life and they ain't found it in us. Now hopefully they can in your church or in your life. And I believe we can honestly say tonight they could. But there's some of you here, you haven't worshiped this week. I think as a whole we have. But there's some of you, you're just sitting here observing. You haven't got in on it. It don't bother you, but you ain't got in on it. You do realize he made the statement before we left last night, we're half done. Now, amen, a real revival, it'll go on. It'll go on beyond the actual meeting itself. But as far as the meeting itself, we're half done. Some of you ain't got in on this thing. But then he goes on to say that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We got two extremes here. You've got the one extreme over here. You've got your Pentecostals and your Charismatics and all that mess, amen. And they're going to come to church on Sunday and they're going to have a good time. They're going to have a good time whether you like it or not. They're going to have a good time whether us fundamentalists like it or agree with it or not. They're going to have fun. But in the midst of their quote unquote fun, there's going to be some stuff that goes against the Bible. There's going to be some false doctrine taught. There's going to be some speaking in tongues. There's going to be a bunch of this junk of rolling around in the floor and barking like dogs and anything they can think of just to keep it fresh. Because what they have isn't really real. There's a lot of spirit. May not be the right spirit, but there's a lot of spirit on that end. But then down here on this extreme, you got us. You've got your independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist. We've got our King James Bible. We've got our good standards running out our ears. We've got the right kind of music. I mean, we've got it all down. We've got our T's crossed and our I's dotted. We got everything just right, but half the time we're dead and we're dry. And there's no life. And according to that verse we just read, one is just as wrong as the other. And we love to pick on this crowd over here. And we love to give them a hard time. But back over here, according to the Bible, according to God's precious, infallible word, amen, we believe it's the truth, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Then if it's right, then we're just as wrong as them when we're not worshiping Him. When there's no joy. When there's a lack, amen, of happiness. But then another thing that caught my attention in them verses was he said at the end of verse number 23, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And I had to stop and ask myself, why in the world would the God of glory, the King of Kings, have to seek for somebody to worship Him? I'm talking about a holy, wonderful God. I mean, without sin, without blemish. A God that loved us enough that one day He gave His only Son to die on a cross, to die one of the most cruel deaths that you can't even start to imagine. Mel Gibson can do his best and Hollywood can do their best to try to describe it. And as good as a job they did in their little movie, it still doesn't come close to what He really did. There's no way they could do it. And He's seeking for somebody to worship Him. And I dare say in the year 2008, He's probably still seeking for somebody to worship Him. And the question I wonder tonight is why? Why in the world is He seeking for somebody to worship Him? After all that He's done for us, you would think we'd be willing to worship Him. Tonight, I just want to brag on Him. I want to preach on this thought. Would somebody praise Him?
Yeah, amen.
Would somebody give Him some praise?
Amen.
Lord, we thank You for how You've met with us already tonight. Lord, if nobody else has had a good time tonight, I have. God, I thank You for just giving me a little reminder of what it was like when I met You. Lord, even as preachers and being in church all the time, sometimes we can forget. Lord, I thank You for that little reminder, Lord, of how good it was and how good it still is tonight. I thank You for these people and the blessing that they've been to me already this week and the good fellowship, and I pray You'll bless their church. Brother Speroni, Lord, and any other preachers they may be here, Lord, I pray You'll bless them. Lord, I pray tonight we'd just look to You. Lord, I pray we would just love You, lift You up, God. Please get us out of the way. We're nothing, Lord. We're dirt. And I pray, Lord, that we would just get ourselves out of the way and that we would see you high and lifted up. Lord, help us to praise you and glorify your name. May your will be done here tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to Psalms chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107. I just want to look at some things that he's done for us. Some very simple things. I mean, if we're not going to praise him for the simple things, we can forget about anything else. You hear these people say all the time, oh, that stuff's so simple. That message he preaches so simple. That's so shallow. He's always talking about them basic things, just being saved. Well, you won't even shout over that sometimes. Some of you ain't even shouted over that this week. I mean, what do you want me to do? Look in Psalms 107. Verse number 1, he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He said, for he is good. It didn't say Daniel Waters is good. It did not say Pastor Gary Piet was good or Brother Speroni was good. Amen. It did not say, amen, that you would find anything good in USA Today. Amen. Or the New York Times. It did not say you would find anything good. Amen. On CNN or Fox News Network. It did not say that, but it did say, hallelujah, that he is good. Amen. For his mercy. Somebody ought to shout her out right there. For his mercy. Mercy, thank God, it endureth. Hallelujah, thank God for that mercy, amen, that was extended to us one day when we were on our way to hell, when we was on our way to suffering throughout eternity. Thank God for that mercy and that grace that came by. Thank God and saved our soul, for his mercy endureth forever, amen. Take that, you old hyper-Calvinist, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, amen. His mercy was good back then, it's good today. Amen. And it'll be good tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're supposed to say amen right there. Amen. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse number 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Do you remember that? Verse number 8, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He said in verse number 2, says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let me say, number 1, we ought to praise him tonight for redemption. Amen. Just to be redeemed. Amen. See, I want you to think about some things, because so often we get burdened down in this life. We get tied up and bogged down with the cares of this life. And no doubt, as a child of God, we go through rough things. These nuts on TV that say, if you get saved, it's going to be all health and wealth and prosperity. They don't have Bible for that. The reality is, we're still going to go through trials. But what I want you to know tonight, no matter how low you may be tonight, God's still good. And he's still good to you. No matter what valley you're facing, no matter what battle you're struggling through right now, God is still good. He's good because of his redemption. Even on our worst day, on our saddest day, if we can just get our minds off the problems long enough, we can think about how good it is just to be redeemed. Because you do realize there's a lost world. There's a lost world out here. They're going through problems too. They have bills that they're having a hard time paying too. They've got kids getting sick too. They go to the funeral home too. But you have something they do not have. You have God Almighty. You have the peace of God, amen, that, amen, nothing in this world can give, but Jesus Christ can give it. I'm glad I'm redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am. I'm redeemed, hallelujah. Thank God it was free. Didn't cost me a dime. Amen. It was free. Jesus Christ. Amen. He paid that debt. Amen. A debt that I could never get paid off. A debt, amen, that I, no matter how hard I might have tried to work or how good of a life I tried to live, it would never be good enough to pay the debt. But thank God he paid that debt I could never pay, because he loves me and he loves you. I remember growing up as a little boy. I'm still a little boy. I'm just getting old. I still look like a little boy, but my driver's license says different. We didn't have all the things that y'all got today, young people. We didn't have Xbox and PlayStation. We didn't have all that. We did have a Atari back then, but I didn't even have one of those. We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have internet. We didn't have chat, go online chat and all. We didn't have all that. We had to use our imaginations. But I remember we'd play games. As a family, we'd gather around and play games. As a little boy, I always liked to play Monopoly. And I know people don't even play board games anymore. I understand that's ancient. They ought to be in a museum. I know that. We'd play Monopoly. And you know, every once in a while, you'd get that card that said, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And you'd get stuck in jail, and you'd go through rolling them dice. And you'd be trying to get out of jail. What it was, I don't know. I'm trying to remember how it worked. You rolled so many times, and eventually you would get out. You were trying to work your way out, but what you really wanted to do was get a card. You wanted to get that little pass that said, get out of jail free. Amen. And like I just said in my testimony a while ago, I spent 19 years trying to do everything in my own power, trying to do things to get saved or at least make myself believe that I was saved, because I didn't want to humble myself before a holy God because I thought I was good enough. But then that night, amen, a light shone down on me, amen, down into my soul, amen. And I realized I was lost and going to hell, amen. But thank God, He said, I done paid the price, amen. And He said, I can save you. Your soul if you'll just call on me. And what a day, happy day that was, amen. When He reached down into that old pit of sin, amen, down into that muck of mire, amen, and lifted me out of that pit, amen. Thank God, hallelujah, for that wonderful day, the best day of my life when I met Him. And I'm glad tonight I'm redeemed and it's free. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm glad. Some of you, you're working. Somebody here tonight, you are working so hard at doing everything just right. You're working so hard to do everything just right, and you ain't even saved. It's just a game to you. You're counting on mom and daddy. You're counting on the preacher. You're counting on your saved friends by hanging around them. But the reality is you're trying to work, and I'm telling you something tonight, it's free. So many people tonight are working to try to get to heaven, and they're working harder, sadly, Brother Gary, than most Christians are. And they're going to wake up in hell one day. What a waste. What a waste to live such a good, clean life and then die and go to hell. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. But that ought to make us happy because it's free. But because it's such a wonderful thing, it ought to make us want to live for Him. I mean, we certainly shouldn't use it like a lot of people do as an excuse just to live however we want to live and do whatever we want to do. The fact that He would pay that price ought to make us want to do more. Ought to make us want to love Him more and live even more for Him. It's free. Thank God it's forever. I'm glad it's forever settled. I'm glad it's not something that I have to worry about. It's not something that I have to roll around in bed at night and wonder, Lord, am I saved? Am I really saved? Amen. I got it settled that day when I called on Him and He moved in. He ain't going nowhere. Amen. It's forever. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. The crowd down the road in your average church, they don't even believe you can keep it. They think you can lose it. And they're shouting louder than we are. Something's messed up right there, friend. They shouldn't be shouting us. They shouldn't be praising God louder than we are. Not only do we have it, but we know we have it forever. What a blessed thought. We can praise Him tonight for redemption. And then look in verse number 11. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Tonight, not only can we praise Him for redemption, we can praise Him for restoration. I'm glad for restoration, amen. And Sunday morning, the preacher was talking about how the church, of all the things it should be, one thing it should be a place of restoration, amen. A place where we care for one another, amen. And maybe there's somebody that's gotten out into sin, and they're not living for God like they used to, but man, God gets a hold of their heart, and God puts a desire in them to try to get back into fellowship. Our job isn't to kick them.
That's right.
Amen. Our job isn't to go out and, amen, run them down and criticize them. We're to love them. We're to help them. We're to pray for them. We're not to... But you know what? Hey, listen, I want you to shout, but before you do, let me get this little dig in. You know why we do that? Because we feel better than them when they're out. So when they come back in, it kind of ruins things for us. That wasn't in my notes, but I may write it in for the next time I preach it. You know why we can't rejoice when they come back and they make their way down to the altar and all we can sit there and say, well, they'll go back out. I don't know why we're wasting. Because it makes you feel better about yourself because you're really not doing much yourself. But as long as they're out in the world living like hell, it makes you look a little bit better. Oh yeah, we're talking about praise tonight. Galatians 6:1, you all know the verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I dare say there's not very many spiritual Christians nowadays. Ye which are spiritual, restore. We'd rather kick. We'd rather get on the phone. Well, did you hear about them? Or, I'm sorry. As Christians, it's... Now, I've got a prayer request. You need to pray for so-and-so. I'm not gossiping. We just need to pray for them. You liar. You liar. Why don't you get off the telephone and get online with God, amen, if you're really concerned, if you really care. Amen. And listen, I understand. Restoration does not come without repentance. And we've got preachers that have been in our circles, preachers that at one point God used, they get messed up in sin. Maybe they compromise or maybe they get off into immorality and all of a sudden there's no repentance. There's no, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry. It's just, well, you know, God's forgiven me. Y'all ought to forgive me too. So I'm gonna split my church and go on down the road here, amen, and try to get another work going. But there's never any repentance. That might not call for restoration. There might have to be a little break in fellowship there. But if someone's truly repentant of what they're done, if they're truly sorry for whatever they've done to you or whatever they've done to this church, you ought to accept them back in. You say, but they've done it over and over and over. They come back, they snot and they cry and we all pray for them and then 2 weeks later they're back out in the world. It don't matter. Give them another chance. One of these days it might just take. And it might last. Some of you daddies and some of you mamas, one day that might be your youngin'. You'll want the church to take them back. You want an idea of repentance? Go to Psalm chapter 51. I mean, you don't have to go there right now. I'm just saying that's David's prayer of repentance. I'm sorry, I figured y'all all knew what I was talking about. Psalm 51, David goes before God. One of the most humble prayers you'll ever find. And it wasn't just, well, Lord, I kind of messed up, you know. You know, I failed. But, you know, I mean, you said we would never be perfect. So, I mean, no. No, he went before God, humble and low. And you know what you find out? In the Old Testament, God would remove His spirit from people. God took His hand from Samson. And then right before he died, spirit came back on him. When God removed his spirit from Saul, the Bible, it doesn't say anywhere where it ever went back on him. But David, through all the mess that David made, and it was a big one, But through all of that, God never removed his spirit according to the Word of God. It might have been because he was a good repenter. We talked about Peter the other day. Peter was known for just mouthing off, saying stuff without realizing what he was doing. Even to the point where he was cussing one night. But he was a good repenter. He was a quick repenter. I don't know who I heard say it, but somebody said one time, you know, keep shorts account with God. Amen. You say, I just sin so much. Then get it right a lot and quick. I'm glad he can restore your past. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I grew up a church brat. You know, I all I've known my whole life was church, going to church. I had a drug problem growing up. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning and drugged to church on Sunday night, drugged to church during revival and on Wednesday night. I dare say there's probably some of you here tonight, though, maybe you didn't have such a squeaky, clean little past. Maybe you knew what it was like to make drug deals. Maybe you knew what it was like to wake up on Saturday morning or Sunday morning hungover, puking in the toilet because you'd got drunk the night before. Maybe some of you know what it's like to be behind bars. I don't know. But aren't you glad tonight that we have a God that can restore you? Aren't you glad tonight that no matter how bad you've gone out in this world, amen, maybe no matter how rotten of a life you lived before you got saved, God said, that's no problem too big for me, amen, that's no sin, amen, too much that my blood can't cover it. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he's able to take the dirtiest, most vile sinner, amen, and his blood is still good enough. It can cover that sin. Some of I hear it so much, and you hear it too. If you're a soul winner, if you go out and talk to people about the Lord much, well, you know, just God, my past, I just don't know if the Lord could save me. Hey, it don't matter. It don't matter how bad you've been. It don't matter how bad of a life you've lived. Amen? God can cover all that up. Amen? And give you a brand new start. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Thank God. That's not in there, but I'll add it. Amen. Thank God. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad God can take somebody like somebody with the likes of Dave Spurgeon. Amen. Somebody as ugly as he was, and he's still pretty ugly. Amen. But amen. God can take somebody that had made such a mess of their life and clean them up and use them for His honor and His glory. Ain't that amazing? And I got a news flash for you. AA didn't do that for Brother Spurgeon. Drug rehab didn't do that for Mark McGahee. Maybe those things are necessary sometimes. I don't know. I'm sure they have good intentions. God can do what they can't. God can do, amen, real quick what they've been trying to do for decades. I'm glad God can do that. I'm glad there was a hope for a preacher named Dave Spurgeon. I'm glad God was able to do something. He's a blessing all across this country and other preachers like that. And then let me throw this in. I always throw this in when I hit on stuff like this. I want you young people, you look up here real quick. We bring these preachers in and they give their testimonies. And we rejoice in how the Lord changed their life like we're doing right now. But let me say, that is not the best testimony. They get the most attention. And we thank God for what He's done. And we make a big deal about it. But the best testimony, are you listening? Are you listening here tonight? The best testimony is get saved and live for God your whole life. You don't have to be like the prodigal son. You don't have to go to that far country and make a mess of your life. If you've never gotten messed up in deep sin, you've got the best testimony of anybody in the world. And I say, keep your testimony. Keep yourself pure. Amen. Keep yourself clean for God. Save yourself, girls, for a young man that'll love you and take care of you. Don't give yourself up for just every little hound dog ever out here that wants to put his hands all over you, girls. Same thing with you boys. Amen. You find you a young lady that loves God, wants to live for God, wants to serve God. Live for God. Keep a good testimony. I didn't get saved till I was 19, but thank God I managed to keep a good testimony. And I want to say tonight, no regrets. No regrets. Never smoked a cigarette? No regrets. Never tasted a drop of alcohol? No regrets. Walked down the aisle, me and my wife, the both of us pure, amen. Thank God, pure and clean. No regrets. Hallelujah. You say, you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm just saying, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to keep a clean testimony. But I'm glad He can do that for anybody. He can restore the dirtiest past. Thank God there is hope for the prodigals. Tonight He's able to restore your passion. So I don't like that word passion. The charismatics use it all the time. Yeah, they also use the word Holy Ghost all the time too. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't be saved tonight. Nothing wrong with the word passion. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have passion. It's a good thing to have passion over lost sinners. A passion for your church. A passion here tonight to see revival. A passion to praise Him. Some of you here tonight, you've lost it. David prayed to God in Psalm 51, like we was talking about a while ago, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He lost his joy. Some of you tonight, you've lost your joy. You're still going through the motions. You're still going through all the mechanics of Christianity. You're still passing out tracts. You're still getting up on Sunday morning and revival night. And putting your suit on, putting your dress on, fixing your hair, dressing the kids, and coming to the house of God. You're still going through all the motions, but that passion ain't there anymore. And it makes a difference. And people can tell when you lost it. People that know you, they can tell. You think you're hiding it pretty good, but you're not. You've lost your passion. That's why he hadn't been able to worship here this week. Well, I'm here. Well, get in on it. Get in on it while you're here. Luke chapter number 10. Jesus came to visit the house of Martha. And you all know the story. Her sister Mary came over, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, talking with the Lord, hearing what the Lord has to say. And Martha, the Bible said, was cumbered about. She was in there, amen, working hard to make Jesus feel at home. And no doubt Martha's intentions were good. No doubt her motives were right. But then she comes in and she says, "Jesus, why in the world? Look, Mary ought to be in here helping me." Jesus said, "Mary hath chosen that good part." You know what I'm scared of, Brother Gary? And you've seen some of it a little bit. A lot of these big Bible colleges nowadays, they're working kids to death. They're teaching them how to work, and young people should know how to work. Certainly nothing wrong with knowing how to work. We need more young people that do know how to work, but they're working them all day. They get up at the crack of dawn on Saturday morning to run a bus route and go visit kids for bus routes and knock on doors, and they get home late at night. Maybe some of them have to go get a job to help pay for Bible college, and then they get up early on Sunday morning and run them buses all up and down the road picking up kids, and they're working and they're working and they're working, but they're not worshiping. They're working them to death, but by the time they get to church, it's all they can do to try to stay awake, let alone worship God. And it's killing fundamentalism. It's killing us. And please understand me, I think young people should have a good work ethic. They ought to know something about working. We got a lot of lazy young people, and I realize that. But at the same time, let's teach our young people how to worship God too. Let's teach them about that good part. The Lord can restore that joy tonight for you. if you want it. Maybe you just don't want it. Maybe you don't care. If that's your attitude, I feel sorry for you. Look in verse number 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. In all their distress and in all their trouble that we read about in verse 19, the answer to the problem was found in verse 20 when it says, He sent His word. Tonight, amen, we ought to praise Him for His revelation. Amen. We ought to praise Him tonight for His word. Amen. I'm glad tonight. I'm glad to be called a Bible believer. Amen. I guess you could call me a Baptist. You could call me an independent, fundamental, premillennial, soul winning, all the little tags you want to put on, and I'm all those things. But most of all tonight, I am a Bible believing Christian. Amen. I thank God for the precious gift that we have in the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for a perfect Bible. Amen. What a treasure we have. Amen. Thank God for His Word, amen. And we ought to praise Him for His Word, amen. There's people around the world that don't have what you have sitting in your lap. They don't have what you've got lying all over the house, amen. They do not have a copy of God's Word, and we've got it tonight, amen. We've got them all over our house.
That's right.
We take it for granted. Thank God for His precious, precious Word. Amen. Thank God we ought to abide by the Word. Amen. Amen. I appreciate standing people that'll stand for the Word of God. People that'll stay with the Word of God. Amen. I'm not looking, amen, to hook up with the Bible of the Month Club. Amen. I'm not looking for a better rendition. I'm not looking for anything like that. Amen. I've got what God wanted me to have tonight. Amen. My job's to take it and do something with it. We need to abide by the Word. I hope you realize what you got tonight. I hope you realize what you have as far as a church in this part of the country that believes the Bible, that makes a big deal about the Bible. And by the way, I want to be militant about the Bible.
Yeah.
I want to be a militant Christian, period. You say, well, you know, I just don't think Christians ought to be so abrasive. Christians shouldn't be, you know, preachers shouldn't be like you, getting red in the face and calling names like you were early. Hey, listen to me. This world out here and all this worldliness and carnality, it's so accepted in America today, amen, because people were militant about what they believed. Amen. The queers, the sodomites, the homosexuals, whatever you want to call them, they're militant about what they want to do. Amen. The ACLU, the NAACP, AP, they're all militant about what they're trying to do. Amen. The politicians, they're militant about what they're trying to do. Amen. I believe Christians, it's time that we got, amen, some backbone about us. Amen. Quit being such sissies. Amen. And letting this liberal community run over us. Amen. And do something for God. I was in Texas about 5 years ago with a preacher. I didn't know him very well, and we were just trying to get to know each other. And he asked me, he said, where did your pastor? He said, where'd your pastor go to Bible college? I said, well, he went to Pensacola Bible Institute. And he kind of drew up, you know. You know, like they do. You say, they who? Them that don't believe the book. He said, man, aren't they kind of militant on the King James Bible around there? I said, oh, yeah, they're militant. I'll never forget it. Brother Gary, he said, well, we're King James only, but with a little O. I thought, well, what a bold statement. I am King James only, but with a little O. I mean, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm thinking, you know, the world is in peril. Disaster is at hand. Oh, here comes Superman to save the day. And when he arrives, he's got a lowercase s, amen, on his chest. And he's wearing a pink cape. Amen. You know, it's like, we're doomed. We need to abide by the Word and thank God. Thank God for people that stand on the Word of God, amen, that haven't compromised, that haven't changed, that haven't, amen, sold out, because that's the bottom line. They've sold out a bunch of stinking liberal compromisers, amen, for money and for crowds and for a paycheck, amen, for whatever reason, they've sold out, and that's what it all boils down to. They sold out. Thank God for people that have stood for it. But let me go on to say we need to abide in the Word. Because I'll tell you what we got in Bible-believing circles nowadays. We got a lot of people that would be running the aisles right now over what I just said. They'd be shouting the victory over what I said. We'd get up and sing songs like this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. And we would shout around and we'd wave our Bibles in the air. Thank God. But then we take it home and throw it off to the side. I would dare say, and I hope I'm wrong, but if you're like the average, quote unquote, Bible-believing church, I would dare say 10% of this church reads your Bible daily. I may be wrong. I hope I am. I would dare say that only half of the people that were just amening me and shouting me on the King James Bible go home and read your King James Bible. Having a time, amen. Revival time, amen. Oh yeah, we're supposed to be talking about praise. I guarantee you this right here. If people would get in the Word of God and have a walk with God and a relationship with God, and you cannot have that without reading the Word of God, we wouldn't have to come to church and pump and prime. We wouldn't have to come to church and try to work it up and try to tickle your fancy, amen. If we'd get a church full of Christians, amen, that would abide in the Word and study the Word and read the Word, amen, you'd come to church ready to praise Him, amen. Amen. Read it. Find out what it has to say. I'll be honest with you, and you can get mad at me for this if you want to. I'm sure you figured out by now, I don't care. I have more respect for pardon the way I put this, an ignorant Christian that doesn't know any better, that'll take an NIV Bible and with their whole heart they'll read it and try to get something that, then for somebody like some of you that have it and you know the truth because you've been here for years and you heard your preacher talk about it and you've heard him teach about it and you know the truth and yet you never read it, I have more respect for that other person. You don't have to like that. We ought to praise Him for His revelation, for His Word. And I dare say the more we spend time in His Word, the more we get in His Word, the easier it'll be to praise Him. Yes. And then tonight, look lastly in verse number 27. I like this right here. The Bible is talking about ships that go out into the deep sea. Verse 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they're at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I want to say last of all tonight, we ought to praise Him because we've been rescued. Aren't you glad tonight you've been rescued? Amen. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were like the verse said there in verse 27? Amen. You just felt like you were at your wit's end. You felt like you have gone just about as low as you could go, sunk as deep as you could sink, hanging by the end of that rope, and you feel like you couldn't go another mile. But then God showed up. God showed up and said, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you, child. I never left you. Amen. I never left you alone. It may have felt that way a little bit, but I was just testing you. I was just seeing how you would do, but here I am. I'm here to help you. Amen. Some of you better thank God that He's rescued. Amen. Some of you He rescued, like we talked about a while ago, from a dark past. Some of you, maybe even since you've been saved, you've made some boneheaded decisions. You've made some blockhead moves, amen, and made a mess of your life, even as a Christian. And yet God has been good to you. God has come along and rescued you. Some of you, He's done it time and time again. He's given you second and third and fourth and fifth chances. And you better thank God that He's rescued you. I'm glad He's able to do that. Some of you, you're on your way to a mess here tonight. We talked about, amen, self-destruction last night. Some of you, you're on the eve of destruction, amen. You're on that edge and you're about to fall over. You're about to be sunk, but Jesus Christ wants to rescue you tonight, amen. And He's able, He wants to salvage you tonight. If you'll quit bucking against Him. Some of you tonight, your marriage would be in shambles. Some of you tonight, maybe even within the last year or sometime in the past, your home about got busted up. Your kids about maybe gotten taken away from you. Amen. Your wife maybe left you or your husband was going to leave you. And God swept into that home. Amen. Put that home back together. Mended that home and that relationship, that marriage, that family. Thank God He rescued you. You say, oh, we figured it out on our own. No, you didn't. It was the goodness of God. It was the goodness of God that kept that home together. Praise Him tonight for being rescued. And I don't care. I don't care how good you think you are tonight. I made that statement a while ago about never smoking and never drinking and never doing some of that stuff and staying clean till I got married and all that. But He rescued me. I don't care how good of a life you've lived. We were all on our way to hell. We were all on our way to suffer for eternity. Jesus Christ, one day in His goodness and His love, He rescued us. He did something for me that nobody else could do. I like that old song. No one ever cared for me like my Jesus. No one else could do what He did for me. I like this story. I've heard Brother Mark McGee tell this story, and he may have told it here. I don't know. But in 1974, in the country of Guyana, Africa, there was a man by the name of Idi Amin. And they had a civil war in that country, and they said it was an estimate of somewhere. They couldn't even count them. He killed literally 300,000 to 500,000 of his own people. When it was all said and done and the war was over, they brought in the French Foreign Legion. Have you ever heard him tell this? They brought in the French Foreign Legion. The place was a mess, bodies everywhere. Sometimes they had to push the bodies off into the rivers and the crocodiles would eat them because they couldn't have decent burials. And they began to dig mass graves, just huge holes in the ground. They'd take these bulldozers and they would push them bodies off into them big graves. One day one of them legionnaires was working on that bulldozer, pushing bodies off into there, and he saw a little hand come up out of that pit with some fingers moving. The story says that he jumped down off that bulldozer and went wading right out into all them bodies, into all that nasty disease and bloated filth. And he went right down into that pit. I'm getting happy now because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Went down into that field. It didn't bother him. He just knew there was somebody that needed help down there. He didn't know that little boy. He'd never met that little boy. He'd never seen that little boy other than that little hand come up. And he went down there and pulled that little old boy out of there and held him up in his arms. They said he had a big gash cut across his face and was just about to die. And that legionnaire held that boy up and said, I don't know who he belongs to. I don't know who he is, but I'll take him and I'll make him my own. I want to say tonight, thank God. That's what He did for me one day. He reached down further than I could ever reach up, pulled me up from the mud by His blood. Hallelujah. Did for me what nobody else ever could do. Thank God. He rescued me. He rescued me. Hallelujah. I'm saved tonight. I'm born again. Amen. Heaven bound. with the hammer down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, good to be saved. Good to know Him. Good to be redeemed. Amen. Good to have restoration. Hallelujah. Good to be rescued. Thank God it's all because of His Word. He's worthy tonight. Preacher, you come on. Just come play something. Tonight, I don't have a challenge for you tonight. I just think it'd be good. I think it'd be good. Just the piano play tonight. We don't have to sing anything. I just think it'd be good if we just gather around the altar, or you can bow there at your seat. I think it'd be good. Let's not get in a hurry tonight. Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. You say, well, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. He's still good. You don't know the storm I'm facing. He's still wonderful. And He still cares about you no matter how you may feel tonight. And no doubt it'd do us all good to just spend a little time thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done. He's worthy tonight. Just thank Him tonight, church. Thank Him for that family that God's blessed you with. Thank you for them youngins that you got here in church tonight. Some of you mom and dad, you got kids that are old enough, they could have run away from home by now if they wanted to. And here they are, they're in church tonight. Most of them's probably trying to live for God. Thank God for that.